World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm doing something here. Hang on there with me a second. Something just popped into my head. I'm sending it to Spencer. And if I spelled it right, I don't know. He'll have it anyway. Morning. I'm just, before we went live here, I was just speaking about how much you guys have really motivated me. I don't know about you guys. I get up about 5:30 every morning. I get up about 5:30 and I have a routine. You know, we all brush our teeth and take our vitamins and do all that stuff. And then I sit down and I spend about every bit of an hour doing research, praying, asking the Lord, where are we going to go? Give me something here to jump off on, Lord. And I just want to thank all of you guys because when the show goes live, I got to have something to talk about. And, you have to admit, we cover a lot of different things here, and it becomes offensive to some because none of us like to be taught that we're wrong, especially we don't want to be told that we're wrong about something that we've believed for so long. And we see it happening politically. Are you guys beginning to notice slowly now how many people are finally starting to question the government? Finally. Now, hey, friends, that's a new phenomenon. Back in 1963, when they killed John F. Kennedy, the idea that the government would lie to us was no way that that would ever happen, right? Do you remember in America, what was it like in America when Richard Nixon and Watergate find out, I am not a crook. Remember that? Well, they were all crooks, right? They were all crooks. We just didn't know it. We just didn't know it. One of the things that really has popped on me today is this whole idea, can two walk together lest they agree, the Bible says. That's one of the real issues that we have, even here in the queue. How do I walk with Ray LeBlanc if I don't agree with his theology? How do I do that? How do I walk alongside I'm not going to throw out a name. Don't embarrass him. How do I walk alongside my Catholic brother if I don't believe his theology? And so we have come to somehow in this whole thing. Well, Satan's the author of confusion, right? We understand that. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing your sight. Direct us here, Lord. Direct us here, Lord. One of the things I ask all the time is, who told you that? Who told you that? And I think that for the most part, when you walk into a church, you trust the guy standing in the pulpit because he's the expert. He's the pastor. Well, how did he become a pastor? Well, he may have gone to seminary, but he may not have. He may have been called by God, but he may have been called by his mommy. He may have taken the job because, he saw it as a pretty good play. Hey, had a call of God on his life, but he saw it as a pretty good opportunity to be in charge. He was the boss. Nobody questioned him. He put people around him and support him. And there are a lot of factors, a lot of things. And say what we will or what we do, whatever. At least the Catholics, former Catholic. I guess I am still one. They didn't throw me out, I don't think. At least the Catholics can point back to what they believe and where it started, the Pope. Now, one of my good friends says, I don't want to embarrass anybody here today. I say to one of my good friends regarding the Catholicism, I said, dude, How can you believe that crap? How can you believe that, Pope? And my buddy, very good buddy, godly man, loves Jesus, says, well, Coach, he's not Catholic. And I just kind of said, what? He's the vicar of Christ. Huh? He's the direct handoff from St. Peter, is he not? Is he not? But somewhere along the line, evil men, it tells us in the scriptures, crept in unaware. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And that's what's become of the word I got put up here today. Can anybody explain to me where and when the word evangelical, where did that come from? Well, he's an evangelical Christian. Well, why does that mean? Well, he's not a Baptist or a Lutheran, or he's not a Methodist. He's an evangelical. Well, what the hell's that? It's an evangelical. Anybody with me? You with me? And so we all become, I hate to use this word, prisoners of our theology. And they're not all right. They're not all right. Want me to start a fight? I'll start a fight right now. Easy way to start a fight. Talk to a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Baptist or a Methodist about speaking in tongues. Boy, you have a fight to the death. Is speaking in tongues of God, not of God? If you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do you get the gift of tongues with it? I mean, right? Come on, somebody say, I get it. I think I would have been a lot better Christian. And that's not the right way to say it. You'll get what I mean. I'd been a lot better Christian if I hadn't spent so much time in church. Somebody give me a thumbs up. I'd be a lot better one if they had taught me how to be one. If they had taken me out in my daily walk of my life and taught me how to be one. My wife and I having this discussion the other day. Hey, I love pastors. Please don't anybody take it personal. I love pastors. I love the body of Christ. But me, this is just for me. I can't go to church on Sunday and listen to something that I already know. Does that sound bad? And I've never been a pastor. Never been a pastor, so I don't know what it's like. But I was a teacher. I was a school teacher. When I was a school teacher and I had a class of 30 students, I had a real dilemma. Did I teach to the smart kids or did I teach to the dumb kids? You know what I'm saying, right? Not that they were dumb, but you had the real brilliant kids in the same classroom with the not so brilliant kids, and you're trying to prepare a lesson. And how do you do that? Yesterday, yesterday I spoke about reading maps. Remember me talking about that? What motivated me, and I sat down with our grandson, I think he's 8, 9, I don't know how old he is, one of those ages. And I sat down with him and I took him through the roadmap. And it was amazing that he sort of got it. But when we got done, then he knew north, south, east, west, and he knew I-70. He knew that, right? Huh? But so now, when David goes to school, which he's homeschooled, but if David would go to school and they were going to have a class on maps, well, he's already learned that. Say, Coach, what am I explaining? What am I saying? That's church. It's church. It's hard to grow individually in church. In fact, that's not the job of church. The job of the church is to gather the saints for the work of the ministry. When you go to church on Sunday, there ought to be a game plan. It's like a huddle. Huddle up! You guys ever watch football? Huddle up! They run a play, then they huddle up. And then what do? Hey, Ray, what do they do when they huddle up? Help me out here, Ray. What do they do when they huddle up?
I suppose when they're huddling up, they're working out a game plan. You're going to do this part. I'm going to do this part. They all assigned different
You're calling things, another right? play, right? You're calling another play. Let me ask you this. I mean, God bless you all out there. What plays your church running? Can you identify for me a play your church is running? I'm going to wait here a minute. I want to hear from some. Look, this is kind of stream of consciousness. Can anybody tell me a play your church is running? I'm going to wait a minute. Anybody know one? Not you. Not one you're running. And in fact, football coach, sometimes the quarterback would come off the field, or sometimes the running back would come off the field, and he would say, "Coach, run 28 toss. Run 28 toss. That guy keeps biting down inside of me." And I'm thinking, well, I'm the coach. Don't tell me what to do. No. I took that information and I ran 28 toss and it worked. Why did it work? Because he's out in the middle of it. He's running. But see, what it is, here's what it is. We only run the play the pastor calls. And can I tell you something? Pastor ain't calling many plays. Because he doesn't know what he's supposed to. The pastor doesn't know his job. He doesn't know his job. Let me throw another question at you. What is the job of the pastor? If the pastor's a head coach of the church, of the body, what's the job of the head football coach? Somebody help me out. Vinny, you help me out. What's the job of the head football coach?
Coordinate.
And do what, Vinny?
Coordinate the play.
Find 11 guys out on the field, and all of them do the same thing. Not the same thing, the same play. And each guy has something different he's supposed to do during that play. Sometimes the wide receivers don't do anything except run down the field. Sometimes they run down the field and the ball's thrown to them. Sometimes they run in reverse. But depending on what the play is called in the huddle, when those 11 guys come out of the huddle, they all have an assignment. Do you have an assignment when you leave your church? Do you have an assignment? You say, "Coach, that's so hard to do. There's 400 people." I know. Are those 400 people on your team, after they've had a huddle with the coach, are they all leaving there and running the same play? And the answer to that would be, No. And then people like to talk about, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. Everybody loves their church. But yeah, hey, Ray, you know what we need? We need a doge for the church. That's what we need. We need a doge for the church. Because at the end of the day, a lot of money being wasted in the church. It's not about money, but it is about money. It's always about money. And if you look at the church where you go, probably, again, this is generalization. I'm sorry. So hang with me. What's the money being used for? Food pantry? Really? Food pantry? Really? That's what your church is doing? And right down the street at your public school, what you're paying for with your tax dollars, now we know that the tax dollars are being wasted. They're teaching little boys and little girls how to masturbate. I mean, we're on the same page here, aren't we? Does your church have a public affairs team? Does your church have somebody? Is there somebody in every one of our churches who is the liaison to the public school? Every time there's a school board meeting, does your pastor have somebody there? Wait a minute. Does the pastor down the street have somebody there to keep an eye on these guys? Or have we said, no, we're about spiritual things, coach, spiritual. I'm heading somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere. Stay with me. So as a result, the American church was forever radicalized and changed with the advent of television, particularly satellite TV, where preachers became famous. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I am, right? And so I'm not making fun of anybody. You have a ministry that's now World Harvest. Nothing against Rod Parson, World Harvest. How about Columbus Harvest? How about Columbus Harvest? Well, they don't do Columbus Harvest because they're after the world. And somebody said that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Dude, are you doing the gospel right outside your church? Are you organizing the people in your church right out there to impact? And I think the answer is no. Right? No. So what is evangelicalism? What is it? And what has it gotten us? And can you be, anybody know? Can anybody? Let's do a little quiz here real quickly. Can somebody explain to me what evangelicalism is? Because by the way, it's fairly new. Somebody right now Googling. So, well, he's an evangelical Christian. I remember the first time I heard that. First time I heard it, I was at London High School, and our principal called me an evangelical. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't know what he's talking about. But I was an evangelical, as opposed to what? If you're not an evangelical, what kind of Christian would you be? Somebody help me out here. If you're not an evangelical Christian, what kind of Christian would you be? So we end up with non-denominational evangelical Christians without any real set theology. Part of our mess, part of what we're dealing with. Am I doing okay, Ray? Am I doing okay? That's what we're dealing with.
Keep going.
And so we have, it's like with the NFL. We got 27 different teams. All of them trying to be the best team. Not intentionally. What is the measuring mark by which your success is measured? That's why I loved coaching football. I looked at the scoreboard. I knew how I was doing. What's the scoreboard in your church? Anybody out there on their church council? Can anybody tell me what the measuring stick is when the church council gets together? What do they talk about? You don't have to tell me because I know. But I just want everybody else to know. When the church council gets together, what do they talk about? Come on, somebody
bigger
step up.
Bigger buildings.
Pardon me?
Bigger buildings.
Bigger buildings, budget, programs. Yes or no? Huh?
Pickles and noses.
Their paychecks, right? Go ahead, Dave. What'd you say?
Nickels and noses.
And so how do you measure the effectiveness of your church? How do you measure it? Oh, by how many people you have. Oh, he has a booming church. Yeah, but they're lost. Almost everybody in there is lost. Because they're teaching a watered-down evangelifish gospel there.
Amen.
They're teaching them a gospel that all you got to do is show up and wave a flag and dance to the music and hear a sermon and go home. And you don't have to let anybody else know the rest of the week that you're a Christian. You don't have to do that anymore. That's what we're dealing with. That's why Christians I'm talking about now. Christians can't even recognize the Christian candidate anymore. In fact, that probably doesn't even factor in. Does to me. Because evil men have crept in unaware. Yeah. Change the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature. So what is evangelicalism? What is it? Did you know? Hey, pull that up. Or just says evangelicalism. I'm going to get off this in a minute. Look, we got to become more effective. Christians have got to become more effective. And it isn't about buildings and bigger program. It isn't about any of that stuff. If it was a standalone one, Spence, it says evangelicalism. I think I sent it to you. Yeah, I did. Huh? When did evangelical Christianity begin? Did anybody ask yourself this? Remember the high school principal called me an evangelical. I had no idea what he was talking. I was one, but I didn't have any idea what it meant. No idea. Are Baptists evangelicals? Are Lutherans evangelicals? our Methodist evangelicals, our non-denominational evangelicals, our Seventh-day Adventist evangelicals. What the hell is an evangelical? I didn't know. One of the most debated questions recently about the history of evangelical Christianity is when it began. Some scholars, especially Christian historians, have tended to see continuity between the evangelical Christianity of the Great Awakening and the early Reformation traditions. Other scholars see little continuity between the evangelicalisms of the 1740s and that of the 1940s. People came to America. Why did the pilgrims come to America? To escape the legalized church entity that the government ran. The pilgrims said, we're out of here. We're not going to do that. They called them Puritans. Why did they call them Puritans? Because they wanted to purify themselves and their religion. So we got to get out from under the government. We're going to go start our own country. As valuable as this discussion is, it seems that we're on solid ground by affirming that evangelical leaders of the 1730s and 1740s were drawing on deep biblical and Reformation traditions, and they also represented a substantially new version of Protestantism that adopted to new realities in the modern period. This idea of traditional Christianity adapting to new realities is one of the concerns of this book, yada, yada, yada. So, right? Although many people associate evangelicalism with modern religious leaders like Billy Graham and Rick Warren, its roots can be traced back to the 18th century. In response to social, political, economic, and intellectual transformations, they were transatlantic in scope. 18th century Protestants through the Atlantic would gradually create a new kind of faith that we now call evangelicalism. So at the heart of evangelicalism is this idea that it's my job to introduce you to my faith. So if I was going to introduce you to my faith, would I invite you to my church or would I take me to you? And there's the crux of it. We want to take people to church so our pastor can explain Christianity to the people because we can't do it. We either don't know how to do it, we're afraid to do it, we don't understand it, whatever. So if you would just come to my church, you would love it. We have great music. We have beautiful pews. We have a beautiful parking lot. Come and be one of us. Look, hey, friends, I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling you that's where we are. That's where we are. And so we're looking at a pope who they thought was going to die. Now he hadn't died. And I told you one of my Catholic buddies said, oh, he's not Catholic. What does it mean to be Catholic? What does that mean? Hey, Spence, real quickly. Look up Catholic. Just that word, Catholic. Roman Catholic. I don't want that. Comprehensive universal. Catholic means universal. Universal. The Catholic Church was the universal church. And then the Protestant Reformation took place, and the Catholic Church wasn't universal anymore. You with me? They called it the Reformation. Now, we've gone through a couple other reformations, right? How about this one? How about the satellite TV Reformation? Anybody part of that one? The name it, claim it, the Benny Hinn's, the Rick Warren's, the turn on TV on Sunday morning, sit in your church. And what's the name of that church? Joel Osteen. I go to Lakewood Church. You do? Lakewood Church is down there in Houston. You go down there? No. Joel comes into my house. He comes into my house. Oh, do you know anybody else there at Lakewood Church? No, I don't know. Oh, so Your faith then is personal, you, Joel, and God. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's our greatest challenge. our greatest challenge is Christians don't even agree anymore. The oldest trick in the book, divide and conquer. We don't even agree. We don't even agree what Christianity is anymore. All right. Because I'm heading someplace today. I'll get you just a second, Mel. I want to talk about the deep state. And the fact that the deep state has infiltrated the church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hey, you telling me that the heads of the Baptist Convention, whoever they would be, or the Methodist Synod or Lutheran Synod, you mean to tell me they aren't bought and paid for? Come on, you're a big boy, aren't you? Huh? You're a big boy. They all want to do what the coach says. If they want to keep getting money, they're going to follow. Come on, you're grown up. You're grown up. Right? And see, the church has become Republican, but the Republicans haven't become Christian. That's a boom, Ray. That was a boom. The church has become Republicans, but the Republicans ain't become Christian.
Boom.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. It's good. I know. Now I know why you listen. Why I listen. Can two walk together lest they agree, the scripture says? No. Christians agree? No, there's a church on every corner. Well, there used to be. Most of them closing up, you notice. And when's the last time? Drive through your town. You want to see what's going on in your town? Should I say it, Judd? Judd, should I say it? Okay, I'm going to say it. I drove by a big church in Ohio that is under the microscope for some things going on there. I'm not going to comment whether they're going on or not. Never been. So the other day I drove out. I said, I want to go see this big church with four different campuses. And I went out, and it's in the middle of warehouses. I mean, big warehouses of trucks coming in and out. And out in the middle of that big warehouse area is this church. And Judd, you know what? I didn't see one cross. I didn't see a steeple. I don't care about a steeple. I didn't see one cross. None. Because they want to blend in. They want to make sure that church is welcoming to sinners. That's what they want to do. And when I coach football, I didn't let just anybody on the team. You're welcome. You can be on the team. You can be on the team. But you ain't going to be sleeping around. And you ain't going to be lying to your customers. Hmm? Oh, no. Not on our team, you ain't going to be. And you know what you ended up with? Best football team, one of the best I ever had? We called them the Dirty 30. Remember that, Coachy? The Dirty 30. Why? Because they were all in, baby. Mm. And a gospel that appeals to everybody appeals to nobody. Man, I got more I got to say, but you've been waiting too long. Come on in, Dave Allison.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Yeah, great teaching. It's extremely frustrating, the topic you're talking about. Coach, yeah. Got a good example here. A local pneumocyst guy, he's a great guy. I've got to know him. And I was in the other day. He said, Dave, I've got to show you something here. And he said, a guy comes in. He said he bought 30 ounces of silver or 30 ounces of gold 30 years ago. He said he bought this gold 30 years ago, and he's had it sitting in his home. He showed it to his friends. Look at this gold I got. I'm going to use this for my retirement. So he comes into a shop, and he says, I want to sell this. Gold's up around $3,000. I bought this for a few hundred bucks. Man, I'm selling this stuff. So he says, well, he takes one of his gold coins, he puts it on his machine. He says, sir, I got bad news for you. All of these gold coins you have are counterfeit. So, Coach, the example, the point is here, the church is a counterfeit. We've been going there 30 years thinking it was a real deal, but when we went to cash it in, we stood before the Lord and he said, depart from me, I never knew you.
Oh, Dave. Hmm.
Same thing, I was in Korea. I went into a shop and a guy, and my friend of mine wanted to buy a bag for his daughter. She wanted a Gucci bag. She said, Dad, when you get to Korea, see if you can buy me a Gucci bag. So he goes in the shop. He says, do you have any Gucci bags? He says, oh, you want the Gucci? No problem. He says, pick out any bag. He had all these bags hanging all over these purses hanging. Pick something. So he picks this nice black bag and he says, okay, watch this. He goes over to the counter, opens the drawer. He pulls out this Gucci little tag and puts it in the machine. Ka-chink! There you go, Gucci. Again, it's a counterfeit. The real Gucci bag is too expensive.
Amen.
To be a real Christian is too expensive.
Dave, that's great.
A counterfeit. Hey, Dave, is a lot Dave,
not only that, I ain't carrying my real Gucci bag outside. Somebody might steal it from me, right? I'm going to get me a cheap knockoff. Have the real one in my house, hidden from everybody. What a great illustration, Dave. Daggone. Gold was fake. Oh, Ray.
Yeah, we were just talking earlier about the infiltration in the church. It reminded me of two phenomenal books I read by Frank Peretti, Piercing the Present Darkness, Piercing This Darkness. And it really gives you an insight on how the infiltration, it's a spiritual realm that we're dealing with.
It is.
Spiritual darkness. And that's our fight. That's always been our fight. And Ephesians 6 explains it very well.
Okay, so Ray, let me stop right there a second, because folks, listen. I'm going to tell you this. I hope, smile at me, okay? Smile at me. Look. The opposition to Doge and Elon Musk in that process is so beyond what we can even understand, because the tentacles of it are so deep. What would you do if you knew you could get away with it? And for how many years were our elected officials able to get away with it? In fact, not only were they able to get away with it, they were encouraged to get away with it. And now all of a sudden, Trump comes in, he brings Elon Musk in, and Elon Musk is starting to turn a light on in some of those closets. And if you think it's just Democrat closets, I don't even know what to say to you. And Trump's greatest opposition ain't coming from the Democrats. I'm telling you. Nope. Coming from those guys who are supposed to be on our side. The ones who go to church on Sunday. Might be on their elder board. So what is... This is kind of where I'm heading today. What's going on with Jeffrey Epstein? How hard would it be to show us a list? They got him. Why aren't they showing us the list? Anybody have an idea? Anybody have an idea why they're not showing us the list? Come on, why are they not showing us the list?
It's a big list and everybody's on it.
Because either their names are on it or their donor names are on it or people in high positions and judges and everything else are all
good
on
to
it.
Have you, good to have you back, Dale. So Pam Bondi comes in. Pam Bondi says, we're going to clean this mess up. Yeah, we're going to clean this mess up. And then somebody gets her in the back room and says, hey, Pam, don't go near that Epstein list, Pam.
It might be that they're using them for leverage, maybe.
Let's hope they are. How about the JFK assassination? Why won't they show us what happened with the folks? Because the deep state is real. What are you going to do? What are we going to do if we find out that some of the people our whole lives that we said great things about and trusted were part of JFK. They knew it. They staged it. They covered it up in the Warren Report. Some of our great heroes knew it. But hey, not only that, those guys, the Gerald Fords, did a tag team handoff to the Mitt Romneys. You with me? So what's going on with Epstein? Can I show you something here? Pull up number three. I'll get you, Gino, promise. Put this at about 1.5 speed. Jimmy Dore, I like Jimmy Dore. He don't mess around. Put about 1.5 speed, and they're going to tell you what's going on. Church has no idea. Go ahead.
Up in Baltimore, Hartford, Syracuse, Atlantic City, Levittown, Ian Carroll.
I don't know why no
Epstein files. We don't? Why?
I don't know why no one's saying it, but we don't actually need the Epstein files. Pam Bondi has thoroughly disgraced herself by promising a whole bunch of shit and after weeks not delivering any of it. Somehow she was dumb enough to think that two...
Sorry. Folks, do you think Pam Bondi doesn't know where the Epstein files are? You guys think... Anybody out there believe they don't know where the Epstein files are? Huh? Go ahead.
200 pages was like all the Epstein documents. Like, girl, have you ever been on the internet? I'll show you where the Epstein files are. See, look, Julie gave you the link right there. Vault.fbi.gov. There's like 10,000 pages. There's blackouts all over them. Click on that link. It'll bring you here. See, brings you here. There's all these different parts. When you go to them, look, 104 pages in this one. The first of ones are always these indexes. And then everywhere where you see a rectangle, that's a blacked out redaction that we could have unredacted. Look, a whole page of redactions. That's crazy. Look, Rodriguez was employed as a chauffeur, butler, house manager for blank at blank. Wonder what that says. Residence blank. Rodriguez worked for blank for approximately 6 months. Rodriguez stated that blank. That would probably be pretty useful if that was unredacted. According to Rodriguez, redacted. Look, Pam, a page that you could release. And there's all kinds of pages just like this. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents like this already in the FBI vault online. There's handwritten notes from victim interviews like this. Jeffrey Epstein purchased tickets to blank for holiday break Xmas. Wonder what that means. Who picked her up? Man, this would sure be useful to have unredacted. Someone felt uncomfortable, went home to blank. Jeffrey Epstein said blank and blank. Thought that meant he would pay. For what? Talk to blank and blank, number from blank. Geez, this page seems to be clearly discussing more plans to travel with them, probably to the island. And all of that is from an interview conducted by SA, meaning Special Agent Blank. Its subject was biographical
files. Put it in the chat, right? You think they don't know where these files are? Come on, man. Come on. It's not like some guy took them and hid them in a trunk in his basement. These are electronic files, boys and girls. Where are these electronic files? And why won't Pam Bondi open them up? Oh, I hate to tell you. Don't make me tell the truth, Vinny. Don't you dare make me tell the truth. Go ahead, Gino.
I just wanted to tell you, yesterday I listened to a video of a well-knowledgeable judge, and I was depressed. He said, all these stories, it's been way back, like Epstein and the JFK trials and everything, notes. He says, it's just for inquiry minds. People want to know. So they don't go back and judge things because just people want to know. It happened too long ago. They can't change it, so they're not going to do anything. Basically, is what he said.
Amen. Well, it's deeper than that, though, Gino. Can I tell you why, folks? All right, Vinny, you're making me tell the truth. Are you guys sitting down? Are you guys sitting down? Okay, here you go. Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent.
Boom.
I'm not going to say anything else. Why wouldn't they want us to know that Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent? Well, where do Mossad agents work? Who do they work for? Oh, yeah, I know. George, come on in.
Israel is saved for last. But yes, he was an agent. But the other surprising thing, too, that was brought out, I believe it was yesterday, actually Kash Patel has turned down the FBI's own protective service and that he wants his own protective detail because he doesn't trust the FBI. So, you know, for an assassination attempt. So, you know, again, just like every good politician, they have good intentions when they go in, but they grab him by the nape of the neck and says, I know what you said, but you're going to play ball. You know, well, the playing ball on this is if you expose what's going on, your life can be taken.
No. And your children's lives are going to be taken.
Yes, true. Just like what happened to Massey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mossad agent, I said, Tina. A Mossad. The Mossad is the Israeli CIA, Israeli FBI, the Mossad. Mossad. Now listen here. Jude, I'm going to bring Jude in here because, Jude, I'm not trying to blow your cover. Judah flies pretty close to the flame. Judah could drop some names of people he knows that are universal names, and I'm going to play something here in a second. Come on in, Judah.
Coach, you're all
didn't
over.
Didn't mean to blow your cover.
No, it's okay. But you're right over the target, and as you understand things, it's the people, the USAID funds, and American Israeli PAC. And when you start to understand who's circling around that and building their walls higher, they're afraid of people coming into their own kingdoms. And what's getting ready to happen here, you know, this was great. I was actually in the arena. UFC 313 on Saturday night. Cash Patel had a shirt on. And all it had was the Punisher logo.
So hang on a minute. So you're telling us you know Cash Patel. He's telling us that. You know General Flynn? Yeah. We have some people, folks, who are flying really, really close to the flame here. Exactly what's going on. And the people that are in charge are not playing games. Wait a minute. Oh, hang on. Psalm 2, Spence. Psalm 2. I'll get you, Kevin. Psalm 2. You believe it or not? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Christians. What's going on? That's why everything that is hidden must have a wickedness attached to it. When did Kennedy die? 63, January to November 22nd, 1963. Somebody help me out. How long ago is that? Somebody do the math for me.
61 years.
And they still won't tell us? They still won't tell us? 61 years later, they still won't tell us? What the hell's that all about? Oh. Because who's connected to it? Compromise. Kevin.
It all comes back to right now in my lifetime, my entire lifetime. You are 10 years old, Coach. Comes back to a Rothschild construct called Israel.
Stop it.
And Israel controls our Congress. We will be lucky if we only have 10 members of Congress that are not controlled by the American Israeli Political Action Committee.
Oh, you're an anti-Semite.
From them.
You're an anti-Semite now. You're an anti-Semite. That's what they say, folks, right?
Huh? Yep.
Huh? So let me make a connection. I'm sorry if it makes some of you nervous. Sorry. Epstein working for the Israeli Mossad. What was the purpose of the Israeli Mossad? Oh, to compromise American politicians. Oh. Joe Allen.
Just think of this. What other countries come address our Congress? Not too many. Thus said.
Enough said. Pull up number 7. Here's a good one for you. Here's a good one for you. It's 2 minutes. James Comey. By the way, John Ratcliffe, what is his job now? What's he head of? Is he head of the CIA? Is Ratcliffe now head of the CIA? I think he is. So here's John Ratcliffe when he was just a member of Congress talking to Comey. Go ahead.
One last question, and I think it's important. At this point, based on everything, do you think that any laws were broken by Hillary Clinton or her lawyers?
Do I think that any laws were broken? Yeah. I don't think there's evidence to establish that.
Okay. Well, I think you're making my point when you say there's no evidence to establish that. Maybe not in the way she handled classified information, but with respect to obstruction of justice. And you've got a pen here. I just want to make sure the record's clear about the evidence that you didn't have, that you can't use to prove. So this comes from the FBI's own report. It says that the FBI didn't have the Clintons' personal Apple server used for Hillary Clinton work emails. That was never located, so the FBI could never examine it. An Apple MacBook laptop and thumb drive that contained Hillary Clinton's email archives was lost, so the FBI never examined that. Two BlackBerry devices, provided the FBI didn't have SIM cards or SD data cards. 13 Hillary Clinton personal mobile devices were lost, discarded, or destroyed with a hammer, so the FBI clearly didn't examine those. Various server backups were deleted over time, so the FBI didn't examine that. After the State Department and my colleague, Mr. Gowdy, here notified Ms. Clinton that her records would be sought by the Benghazi Committee, copies of her emails on the laptops of both of her lawyers, Cheryl Mills and Harold Mills, and Heather Samuelson, were wiped clean with bleach bits, so the FBI didn't review that. After those emails were subpoenaed, Hillary Clinton's email archive was also permanently deleted from the Platte River Network with bleach bit, so the FBI didn't review that. And also after the subpoena, backups of the Platte River server were manually deleted. Now, Director, hopefully that list is substantially accurate because it comes from your own documents. My question to you is this. Any one of those in that very, very long list to me says obstruction of justice. Collectively, they scream obstruction of justice. And to ignore them, I think, really allows not just reasonable prosecutors, but reasonable people to believe that maybe the decision on this was made a long time ago not to prosecute Hillary Clinton. And with that, I yield back.
Vinny, that'd be a boom, wouldn't it, Vinny? That'd be a boom?
Boom.
Okay, hang on now. We're a little bit of education here in class today. Poem number 8. Why the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing. Huh? Pull up General Flynn. It's just recent.
Well, you tweeted on X or posted on X that you know of Jim Comey's involvement in not only trying to kill you, I believe.
How did Jim Comey get to be director of the FBI? Go ahead.
Hillary. That's what you said, but also his involvement with the attempted assassinations on our president. Can you go deeper on that? Can you tell us more about that, about what you know and how you know it?
Sure. I mean, those weren't the exact words, but I mean, where we're at is we are at a place where there have been two attempts that have been public, right? Two attempts that we all know about, the one in Pennsylvania and then the one down in Florida, assassination attempts against the president of the United States. You know, and more will come out about those. You can tell. I mean, there's not a lot to talk about these, right? I mean, but how they were set up, what's happening, more information is going to come out about those and how they were set up, who was involved. You know, I would just say that, and those are what is public. One of the things that we do have to pray for is the safety and security of President Donald J. Trump going forward. I mean, he's a very, very historic figure. We have a system in place that takes over. But boy, I'll tell you, you know, because of where we are globally, and there is a globalist institution made up of people. Comey really is just a soldier. Barack Obama is a soldier. He's a higher up in the ranks. Guys like John Brennan is a soldier. He's probably a little bit higher up in the ranks, and they give him a little bit more authority to do the things that need to be done because of where he sits on the outside of a giant security system. But these are soldiers. The real threats are the people that are sort of running this sort of globalist group. And this is not a conspiracy. These are people that are well known. I mean, start with the World Economic Forum and work your way down. Start with George Soros. George, the you know, the banking, I just throw out one thing. The banking system in Ukraine is run by Soros. I mean, it's run by Soros. And there's no doubt about that. There's filings in court cases right now that prove that out. So we are in an interesting period of time. President Trump has got to stand strong. He's got to maintain his, his own humility, too. And I think that that's important. And he does that in his own way. And I think that for the American people need to stay very switched on and very adaptive to what might come.
Well, but General, you tweeted.
Is that it? Hey, Spencer. Go to Psalm 2 in the Message Bible. Some things have never changed, folks. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, peoples? Earth leaders push for position. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers. Know who those are? Let's get free of God. Cast loose from the Messiah. Heaven-throned God breaks out laughing. At first, he's amused at the presumption. Then he gets good and angry. Furiously, he shuts them up. Don't you know there's a king in Zion? Coronation banquet is spread for him on the holy summit. Let me tell you what God said next. He said, you're my son. Today's your birthday. What do you want, buddy? You name it. Nations as a present, continents as a prize. You can command them all to dance for you or throw them out with tomorrow's trash. So rebel kings, use your heads. Upstart judges, learn your lesson. Worship God in adoring embrace, excuse me. Celebrate in trembling awe. Kiss the Messiah. Your very lives are in danger, you know. His anger is about to explode. But if you make a run for God, you won't regret it. Boom! Why did the heathen rage and the people? Folks, we are in the midst of a spiritual war. And for the most part, the church has not engaged. It's not engaged. Think of the corruption. Just think of the corruption. You trust the elections? Do you trust the IRS? Who is it? From a governmental standpoint, that you trust. Yeah, Flynn says Comey's going to go to jail. Go ahead, play that one. Just another one. Just one more good one, huh? Just one more good one. How about, number six. Have they told us the truth about what Admiral Byrd saw when he went to the Antarctica? Just go ahead and play this real quick.
Task force retreated to Chile. And as soon as they made port, rumors spread about strange findings and disasters that forced the mission to be cut short. Admiral Byrd himself spoke to the media, and rather than deny the stories, he expressed deep concern about the real possibilities of devastating aerial attacks on the U.S.
This doesn't sound like a guy on a scientific mission.
It sure doesn't. Byrd warned that it was imperative for the United States to take immediate defensive measures against hostile forces in the Arctic and Antarctic. The admiral went on to say that he wasn't trying to alarm anyone.
Too late.
But the cruel reality is that in case of a new war, the United States could be attacked by flying objects that had the ability to move from pole to pole at incredible speeds. Admiral Byrd reiterated this in a few different statements. He warned that there was a new enemy that could attack any country at any time, anywhere, no matter the distance. When Admiral Byrd got back to Washington, he was immediately debriefed. And though he had just spent 2 weeks making statements in the press, after a lengthy interrogation, Admiral Byrd never uttered another word about Operation High Jump. The mission was immediately classified.
Okay, get it off. Put it in the chat, you can finish it, because I got another one I got to show you. What's going on at Antarctica? Huh? Say, Coach, you're opening up all the... I am. We told you all this stuff. Spencer, I just sent you another one. Yeah, you didn't get it? Yeah, I got it.
At this time, I'd like to introduce...
Only, All right. Hey. All right. See if you can feel the excitement here from these three guys who just got back from the moon. Huh? Imagine that you were on the moon and then you get to talk to the whole world about what it was like on the moon. You wouldn't be able to hold your enthusiasm in, would you? Go ahead.
Introduce the Apollo 11 crew, astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin. Neil?
It was our pleasure to have participated in one great adventure. It's an adventure that took place not just in the month of July.
Man, he's excited, isn't he?
One that took place in the last decade. We all here and the people listening in today had the opportunity to share that adventure over its developing and unfolding in the past months and years. It's our privilege today to share with you some of the details of that final month of July that was certainly the highlight for the three of us of that decade. We're going to divert a little bit from the format of past press conferences and talk about the things that interested us most.
Put in the chat.
In particular.
Put in the chat. Huh? Hmm? So, friends, it's a deep... See, they're going to try to write us off as conspiracy theorists, right? It's just information. And everything that's going on, been a lot of wicked stuff going on because why? The love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people getting rich, and they don't want us to know it. That's why, circling back around to Pam Bondi, she going to tell us who's on the Epstein list? Think she is? Think of some of the names that may pop up on that Epstein list. Yep. It's the synagogue of Satan. Jeff, quickly.
Coach, the other night on Newsmax, they were showing a school teacher. They are now training these kids as they teach them disinformation and misinformation. Little third, fourth, and fifth graders. They're putting that in their heads now. And the teacher told the kids, if you can get your information from the AP, then you know it's correct.
National Education Association, an arm of the federal government. Let's eliminate the Department of Education. Send the money, if they want to the local schools and let the local schools teach what they want to teach. Why is that? Why would that be so hard? No, there wasn't a Department of Education till Jimmy Carter came in, who was bought and paid for by the teachers union, and he established the Department of Education. And now we act like if they eliminate the Department of Education, all Americans will be dumb, as if we're not already. So we're in the midst of an unbelievable upheaval. And the kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers are taking counsel together. And they're going to do everything they can to make sure you don't know the truth. Yep. I'll make sure you don't know the truth. That's the battle. That's what's before us. It's all spiritual. All spiritual. Does Pam Bondi have the cojones to point out that George W. Bush, no, H.W. was at Dallas? And that is they're going to tell us that? They know that, you know. They know that. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.